There was a time when all could agree and support the First Amendment. We understood that the Founding Fathers put the idea of free speech first on their list for very important reasons. While being vital in all aspects of American life, it's perhaps most important within our education system, where a free exchange of views and ideas expand awareness and knowledge. Sadly, that mutual agreement has fallen away. Today in college campuses, radical and even violent speech in some cases is welcomed, while ideas about faith, life, and, well, even the Constitution face a campus administrator-led erasing. However, that's about to, well, possibly change via an executive order by President Trump. Joining us now to talk about all this is the founder and president of Speech First, Nikki Neely. How are you today, Nikki?
I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Great to have you back with us talking about this. SpeechFirst.org. Learn more about and support the work of Speech First and the work that Nikki and everyone with the organization is doing. Let's lay a barometer of what is before we get into the executive order and what it could create. As far as the stifling of free speech, what are some of the more glaring examples of the unfair way that is happening in college campuses?
Sure. I mean, I think to be a student on campus today is like facing death by a thousand cuts. There are so many little indignities that administrations use to show and send a message to students that certain kinds of speech are unwelcome. There are things like free speech zones. And I mean, when I grew up, I thought America was a free speech zone, but apparently I am wrong. There are campuses that will actually paint out or chalk out an area where free speech can take place. Texas Tech actually used to have a free speech gazebo. So, I mean, that's horrifying and insulting. Yes. Student groups are charged security fees to have speakers. More often than not, that ends up being imposed on one side of the political spectrum. There are speech codes where offensive speech is banned. And, you know, offensive is very much in the eye of the beholder. That's like saying, you know, we're going to ban delicious food. What is offensive to me is not going to be offensive to you. But unfortunately, who is determining what's offensive? It's usually not a constitutional scholar. It's usually a diversity officer. And that ends up, as you said earlier, it's constitutional-protected speech. It's religious speech. It's political speech. And that's branded as hateful and bigoted these days.
Is one of the reasons why some of these colleges put the silencer on someone speaking ideas is because you can have literally one student saying, well, Joe Smith said this to me and that upset me. Well, then Joe Smith is going to come under the penalty of, you know, whatever committee or squad is supervising speech on a college campus. But in a long-term view, if something is said to me and upsets me and that is eliminated from my hearing it ever again, that's not really preparing me for what we like to call the real world further down the line, does it?
You're right. It's terrifying. I mean, it's students are not resilient. I mean, the world is not a kind place, and people need to learn how to address opinions they disagree with, people who are mean, in a constructive manner and not in a go and tattle-tale and have somebody else take care of it. Because these behaviors that are being ingrained on campus are not staying on campus. They are being taken out into society, into the workforce. And, I mean, I don't want to hire people like that. I don't want my children playing with people like that. I want, you know, you want people to address their problems head on. When I went to college, it was really exciting to be a grown-up and have this agency over your life and be able to make your own decisions. And for these students now to be expecting college administrators to come in and provide comfort and keep them safe and keep them emotionally happy is such a strange change to me.
I wish I could remember which college it was, but I remember there was this one college which prohibited the distribution of the U.S. Constitution. So basically you're saying, well, I want to practice my free rights under the First Amendment with the Constitution, but you're going to eliminate my being able to do that.
I mean, there are schools that say that the Constitution is exclusionary to foreign students, to immigrants, and, I mean, That's deeply troubling because you're going to come up against these ideas at some point. And so, we need students to be able to be more constructive with this.
Yeah, on the flip side, if you want to speak anything anti-American, certainly anti-Israel, and even anti-everything, case in point, when Long Island University brought in the then-president of Iran to speak, and he talked about how Iran doesn't have gay people because, well, they kill them all. But everyone in the gathered auditorium thought, oh, that's a great joke. And they all laughed at that. That was just a wonderful, warm, fuzzy moment. That speech, you never really see get limited, do you?
No. So it's definitely these penalties, these policies, picking winners and losers, it really only seems to work against one side of the political spectrum. And for people who are championing these policies, you think, you know, what goes around comes around. I mean, 40 years ago, it was, it was pro-communist speech that was being banned on college campuses. It was Martin Luther King was, he was thrown in a jail and wrote letters from a Birmingham jail because he had violated a gag order. And so, to cede that kind of authority and to ask government or school bureaucracies to exercise that kind of discretion is a very dangerous tool and a very powerful tool and something that students really should think twice about.
For you listening, you ever want to measure what your local universities are doing in this regard, just look at the commencement speakers that some invite and others reject. For example, it was Seton Hall who rejected Condoleezza Rice, and I believe it was Harvard or Yale about a decade or so ago that had Kermit the Frog as a commencement speaker. So that, I mean, that's for, you know, a quick thumbnail barometer of if you're thinking of where you're going to send your kid to college, you know, come that time of year, just study those and see what's shaking down. We're talking with Nikki Neely, who is the founder and president of Speech First. SpeechFirst.org is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And as I alluded to in the intro back over the past weekend at CPAC, President Trump said he is going to issue an executive order. Now, what did he say the executive order is going to be targeted at?
Sure. So he said he wants an executive order requiring colleges, universities to protect free speech on their campuses in order to qualify for federal research dollars. We have yet to see what that actually looks like in practice. But just to give you a little bit of context, according to the National Science Foundation, the federal government actually gives colleges and universities over $26 billion, that's billion with a B, annually to conduct research. And so this is, you know, no small amount of change here. And so, you know, we'll see how that actually ends up implementing things, because we know that money is one thing that does motivate schools.
And as far as that funding, is that something that just goes to the public colleges or the private universities too?
Both, public and private. And often schools will demand that 100% of the overhead of this research is also covered too, which, you know, kind of sends a message. If you weren't funding this, we wouldn't do it, period. So it's not something we're interested in, it's something you're interested in, you as the federal government, as taxpayers. And so there definitely is an argument to be made that regardless of if it's at a public or private school, that they can attach strings to it.
I mentioned also in the introduction, sometimes this comes to a level of violence, which most recently Leadership Institute field representative Hayden Williams was trying to do some activism at University of California, Berkeley, once known as the haven of free speech, by the way, back in the day, and he was physically assaulted.
Yeah. And the university was slow to respond. News outlets really didn't cover it until President Trump really shone a spotlight on it. And that's really discouraging, because you think for every incident of Hayden Williams or Charles Murray being shouted down or different incidents, the high-profile ones, there's all these other ways that schools are sending a message to students that, you know, your viewpoints are unwelcome. Keep your head down. Keep your mouth shut. And it's terrifying. I mean, I think it very clearly, if you hold a viewpoint outside of the window of acceptable discourse, which, let's be clear, is very narrow and very far left, you might face consequences. You might be assaulted. You might be disciplined. If you file a complaint, it won't be taken seriously. So students just don't talk. They don't ask tough questions. They don't join clubs. They don't, they don't speak up. They don't identify as being a conservative or a Republican or a libertarian because they're worried that they might face consequences. And so you end up with these college experiences that are really kind of soft and unquestioning. And I mean, Kermit the Frog is commencement speaker. And that's not real college. I mean, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year to just kind of be in that soft middle where everybody agrees, yes, I like puppies, I like kittens, I like ice cream. And that's it. It's horrible.
And it's not just involving the speakers when they're brought in or programs or clubs. It happens in the classroom as well. If you speak out against what a professor is pontificating because you disagree, you're told realistically it has happened, it's been documented, to shut up, or if you don't like it, get the hell out.
Yeah. I mean, probably the most frequent comment I get from students is their grades suffer if they disagree with the professor politically. I talked to a student who said a professor saw him wearing a Make America Great hat, and he refused to write him a letter of recommendation from med school. People's grades suffer when they say, you know, actually, I think communism is pretty horrible. Che Guevara actually murdered a lot of people. And, they get bad grades in classes that they need to graduate. And if that's the situation you're in, yeah, you're just going to parrot talking points. But that's not college.
So we'll see how this executive order, once it comes to pass, what it will contain in more detail and whether or if it is going to make a difference. Certainly the work of Speech First is making a difference, both through advocacy for the, strangely enough to say, the equal use and opportunity to enjoy First Amendment rights on college campuses and elsewhere, too. They also take legal action when necessary. You can learn more, become a part of this work, too, at speechfirst.org. We'll be joined by their founder and president, Nikki Neely. Nikki, thanks for the work that you do, the education you give about what our rights are with the First Amendment. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having me.